Good evening, and welcome to Song Talk Radio for this frigid January the 13th, 2015.
Brr.
We are streaming to you live on the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Song Talk is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies, they can be established professional songwriters. During the show, we share tips, techniques, and tools, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Strat for short, the Bad to the Bone Bruce.
Hello,
and the fictitious Phil.
Hello. I like Strat. That's a cool name.
We are
Strat.
It's like we're G.I. Joe.
Mm. Yes. And don't forget, we always love hearing from you, our listeners. So please send your thoughts, complaints, corrections, and care packages to feedback@songtalk.ca. Follow us on Twitter @songtalkradio. Use the #songtalk. And on Facebook and YouTube @songtalkradio. And please stop by our website @songtalk.ca. There you can find out how you can be a guest on the show. Tonight, our guest is Toronto-based singer-songwriter and returning Song Talk Radio guest, Anna Morales. Welcome back, Anna.
Yay. Thank you for having me, guys.
Good to have you back, Anna. How long has it been since you've been here?
A year.
A year, almost?
A year, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think when we had Anna last, we were doing our half-hour shows, weren't we?
Oh, it could be.
Right, possible,
right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, you'll get the full treatment tonight, full hour.
Have you been writing very much in the last since we last saw you?
Not really. I wrote the three songs that I'm gonna present tonight.
That's enough.
Not so much.
You wrote just enough for the radio.
Just
show.
Enough for the radio show to get on.
Oh, okay.
She knows what's important.
And these three songs were done like what, a few days ago or
no.
Okay.
So how long it takes you write slowly, or you just don't? You're not always. Move to write a song.
I've been very busy lately, so the very first thing that I'm going to present tonight was written sometime in June. Half a year ago.
Right. So when you're a bit distracted by the challenges of life, sometimes songwriting has to take a back seat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
Are you sort of coming up with ideas sort of over time, and then only occasionally get to sit down and work on them? Or are you constantly sort of building little bits of stuff?
Well, if I'm in the mood, I'm going to sit down and start writing. Then I will stop. Then after a few weeks, I'm going to sit back again. But, you know, I may not be able to continue writing the song that I wrote a few weeks back. So it's always like new then.
When you do decide to sit down, is it usually pretty productive, or do you kind of noodle away for an hour and be like, there's nothing here?
It actually really depends. If I'm in the mood, I can write songs like half an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? You channel, yeah. Kind of channel right. The yep. thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, now, are you keeping track of your songs that you're writing? Are you putting them down in a book? Are you writing down the chords or putting them into a phone?
I actually have an MP3 recorder, so I always have it with me. So once I have something, I'm going to record that.
Oh, that's great. So when you come up with an idea, you just put it down.
Mm-hmm. Even singing a cappella, I just need something to get back to, you know.
Oh, okay.
You do that on the subway from time to time?
No, not in the subway.
Walking down the street. and then when you re-listen to it, do you ever like write them? Do you ever write out the lyrics and write out the chords or anything like that, or do you just go on based on your recordings?
But based on my recordings.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Well,
So the lyrics you brought tonight—that was a special effort for the show. You wouldn't normally do that.
That's true.
Well, thank you for going to the trouble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're not writing down your stuff at all?
Not much, you know.
Hmm.
You just remember it.
I just remember it.
Well, or the recorder remembers it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
True. Mm-hmm.
When you have all that stuff backed up.
Mm-hmm. When your songs are complete, do you put down your complete song into the recorder, or is it just sort of a development tool?
When I finish writing my song, I would, you know, type that in Word and just store that in my machine, in my computer.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And start recording, you know, a better recording of the songs.
Oh, right.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right. All right. Well, there you go.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And how are you recording stuff at home? Are you just with your MP3 player, or do you have a more elaborate setup? Or?
I have a Cubase. Using Cubase, right?
You do?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
All the cool people use Cubase.
So they think so.
I guess we know what Phil uses anyway.
Yeah, yes. We do know what Phil uses. Yes. Okay.
I use iPhone. That's as sophisticated as I've got.
Hey, people have done entire albums on an iPhone.
Yeah. That is true, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be treated to three of Anna's original songs. She's brought in three recordings. So these are your home studio recordings,
right,
correct?
Right.
Done on Cubase. And, and okay, so why don't we just get going with the first one. Do you want to set this up at all? You say anything about it before we start? Or?
Sure. So this song is entitled Sunday Afternoon. I wrote this when I was feeling very sad, depressed, burned out. So, yeah, really down. I guess that would be enough for the introduction. And
all right.
Okay.
Let's listen.
Let's have a listen.
Sunday afternoon, my clock is dead. Snow in month of June, where did summer go? How would I escape the world? I need to face the world while I how would I escape the world? I need to face the world. Who will save me from this world? I need to face the world.
Afternoon, music and lyrics by Anna Morales.
I liked it.
That's a lovely little song.
I love your melodies.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love the melody.
Yeah, gorgeous melodies.
Yeah.
How long was that song, Phil?
2 minutes, 36 seconds.
2 minutes, 36 seconds. So nice. It's quite short.
Very short.
Well, but it's long enough, isn't it? I mean, really, it wasn't too short for me. I think there's something about, you know, you're saying that this was when you were down and all that, and it's really interesting because people say they've written a song when they were down, and yet I found it uplifting,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's asking how could I escape the world, I guess, meaning check out, but the other bit is how I need to face the world is what comes through for me, you know, in the sense that the character is saying, regardless of how I feel, I have to carry on, right,
that's...
for some reason.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
And I love what you do with the all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And why I think it's perfect for being short is that when you're that emotionally distraught about something going on in your life and you're really, everything's crazy and upside down, like it's the clock is dead, there's snow in June, which is kind of weird in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Where did summer go? Wait, it's June. What a minute. Where summer goes? So it's the fall, right? So there's just such a disconnect from reality here. If everything's upside down, mm-hmm. and everything's weird, like you've never experienced before. And I don't think that a person who has that much going on really is going to have a lot to say about it. It just gave me the feeling like, I'm just going to get this out. It's all I can say right now. And that's it. It's Sunday afternoon. Bye-bye. You know, like,
exactly.
I'll check in later. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the right length for the song, I think, you know.
Well, it was it was a perfect, it was a simple, clear, perfect little idea.
Beautiful.
And I think it's, the temptation can be to go and add lots of stuff to it and make it kind of a big production, but keeping it simple makes it that much more intimate. I love how you start off with sort of a place and time, you know, Sunday afternoon, snow in the month of June, and a little pause before you hit go was really tasty. And it was a really great way of making a fairly, you know, simple line actually into something that's very special.
Right.
Which is really nice. And what a great chorus.
Thank you.
Just a super catchy, great chorus. And when you added your vocal that part, that actually acted almost as a bridge. I mean, it was sort of you weren't just replaying the chorus melody.
Right.
It was a full separate melody onto itself, and that kind of actually made it seem why it was so full. You know.
Yeah. Right. I mean, for a song that is fairly short in length is actually. I mean, like Phil was saying, like it's a very focused, small idea, and you don't detract from that idea. You're very, very focused in on it.
Right.
But like, I think it's the same chord progression from top to bottom, right?
Right.
But you've got
it's a different feel.
But it's a different feel. You you change the melody. There's three different melodic ideas going on, right? Which is really kind of interesting because I think if it were. Yeah, if you did have another section with a different chord change or something, it'd be a completely different song,
right,
and it might get a little off focus.
I wanted to keep it like using the same chord progression, but maybe adding a little bit twist on how I would sing the song.
Yeah. And you change up the second time you hear the chorus. I need to face the world. Your melody shifted there to give some very. What I was going to say, Neil, about on that topic is, it's a very contained song with a lot of richness in it because. My favorite thing, there are a lot of changes in it, and there's lots of surprises in it. Like, you always do a forward phrasing, you never do back phrasing. Like, there'll be a beat, the downbeat, you'll expect the lyric to come in, and it comes in a half a beat later.
Right.
Chung, how would I say? And it's like, oh, it's so hesitant, and it's perfect for the mood, right?
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you can barely sing on the downbeat, you get your voice is trailing the guitar.
Right.
I think it's really, really... a really soulful and touching and really intelligent songwriting that whether it's intuitive or you think it through or just feel it through, you've created so much richness in the song, as I say, so much variation, so many changes every step of the way. And so the song keeps me with it. Like, I'm with it, right?
Because we'll often talk to people about, you know, singing a song that's actually too samey. And people, you know, you can actually have a very samey song with lots of different chords and lots of different sections in it.
Yeah.
But this is, you have the same chords all the way through, but because you were very careful in your placement of your melody and your development of your melody, so that you weren't just doing the same melody all the way through, or even when you did your chorus, the chorus wasn't exactly the same all the way through.
It was the same second time around,
It actually made it feel like a full song. So you don't necessarily have to have, like, 5 million chords.
No.
But you just need to be very... to make sure that you consider every line, and the song is very considered all the way through.
Even the ending, like, I just love the way it kind of peters out at the end. It's very open. Like, for all the space that's in the song up until then, there's even more space at the end, right? And it just sort of floats there. Cool. The whole, I think because of the space you have in the song throughout, there's this tension that pervades the entire thing. And then it kind of...
It's lovely, lovely emotion in that.
Yeah.
I am the official representative of the grammar police, so I have to check one piece of grammar with you, okay? Life is so unfair. Why life is so unfair? Did you mean why is life so unfair? Okay, so you might want to have a look at that.
Sure.
That's just a grammatical thing, and I don't think it would harm the song to say it. Life is so unfair. Why is life so unfair?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And apart from that, I really like how you teased us in the first chorus. You, how would I escape the world?
It's like you're thinking.
You're thinking. And then you pay it off in the next chorus. We get two new lines in the chorus, right?
How much of this was, you know, when we're pointing this out, was that what you were thinking, or was this that was all this sort of an intuitive kind of response?
Was it deliberate? Well,
it just came out. Yeah, like, so I can't put words on it, so it's like I'm thinking. So I thought, you know, it's exactly how I'm feeling at that moment when I wrote the song.
Right, so you didn't sit down and think, I think I'll have the voice come in after the downbeat, and then maybe I'll do a hmm.
No,
so something creative comes out of you with your voice and your guitar.
Right.
Do you always have the lyric ready when you're starting, or do you go la 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 in some of those spaces and fill it in later?
Well, some songs that I wrote, I always start with the melody for most of my songs, but okay. For this one, you know, I started strumming my guitar and singing something with whatever I was feeling at that moment, and just everything just.
Do you remember what you wrote first? Like, did you write your chorus first?
No. I started with
the top.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's a channeled song.
Yeah, so that's what it seems like. It was kind of from front to back. Like, you wrote it in sequence.
Right.
Because in retrospect, it almost seems like the hmm in the first verse might have been a thing where a songwriter may have done the first verse and the second verse, the first chorus and the second chorus exactly the same, and then thought, well, why don't I change something in the first verse and just put hmm hmms in instead? You know, it could have been, but I don't think it worked that way for you. It just kind of came out straightforward.
This song, Neil Simon. Simon's famous Broadway playwright, comic playwright, and one of his quotes is, "A play isn't written, it's rewritten." And but this song is written, it's not rewritten.
Yeah.
Like most writing takes many drafts, right? Till you get it the way you want it.
Did you go back and change anything?
No.
Really?
See, that's what we're getting at here. This is one of those songs.
It's the first draft.
And I've done that before. Now, people can argue and they can say, well, Bruce, you could have changed that. That could have been improved. But the thing is, sometimes it comes out in a way that just works for the writer.
Yeah.
And it's not you're trying to say, oh,
I'm brilliant.
I did it
the
first draft.
Perfect, the
it's more like, it's more like a spiritual thing in the sense that this song was delivered to me and it works for me and I'm not going to fuss with it. Other things...
It's kind of like a photograph. Like, it just captures that one moment of your emotion, of your time, and that's it. And then you don't touch it after that, right?
Does she have the right title, Phil? Or should it be called Face the World?
You know what? I think actually this might, Sunday Afternoon might not be a bad title.
It's top and bottom.
Yeah. And I think that's it.
It's a very Paul Simon title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this time I think it would. I mean, it's...
Because it's not got a big anthemic chorus like, I will face the world, and the violins come in. No.
Yeah, and it's such an intimate thing. I think it's a different kind of song, so I think actually Sunday Afternoon would be it. And it's so hard to write a song this simple. You know, it's a very difficult
thing. It is. I would have a hard time with that.
Oh, yeah?
I probably want to...
Wow.
The other thing is that, like, my melodic development is the weakest point of my songwriting, so I would I tend to go for the chord change before I'll go for a melodic
thing,
right? But you know, but that's just me.
Well, you also have such a great voice.
Oh, thank you.
And that allows you to kind of, all you really had to worry about is your guitar and your voice, and because that pairing is so strong, you know, it allows you to lots of room to sort of grow and play around with melodies, you know.
And you have such an honesty in your singing. I mean, your vocals are so, I say, natural. That's a natural expression of your feelings.
Right.
It's almost like you were speaking and now you happen to be singing, but it's still coming from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's very natural, lots of great tone in it.
Thank you.
Again, you're not thinking about tone. You're not thinking, I better lay a thick tone on here so people will cry. Mm-hmm. You're just feeling the song, right? So that's lovely.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, I would characterize it as strategic. If you had, you know, you leave a lot of space between the lines. It gives you an opportunity to kind of play around with melody. And like Phil was pointing out, like you can place Where Did the Summer Go. You can place that in kind of a special way because you've given yourself enough space around the lines to kind of play around with that, right?
Right.
But, you know, the important thing, again, is to not do it the same way every line. And you didn't do that. Like, you're actually... You know,
so are there some songs that you construct as opposed to this one was I would call channeled? Are there other songs where you actually construct it, like you have a little bit here and a little bit there and then you put them together on paper, or are most of your songs put together in the moment?
I do remember I have some songs, but it never worked out okay.
Yeah, the construction method doesn't work for you. It's like the craft, pure craft.
No.
Well, it's actually, I mean, even for...
She has craft.
Well, even for myself, like, 99.9% of the time, I will construct a song over a course of whatever, but unequivocally, the better ones are the ones where I've written them in, like, one sitting.
Right.
Yeah. Because they capture a mood, I guess.
They capture a mood. They're just that much more focused, you know?
And your momentum.
I like improvising songs. It's something I really like doing, and I don't get a chance to do it very often. Just get with a keyboardist or a guitarist and have them start on a pattern of something, and then I just let whatever comes out of my mouth come out. Mm. And I don't record them or anything, because it's just such a pleasure in improvisation, and that's what that feels like, what your song feels like, that it was improvised, because it wasn't pre-written. It was like, I have some thoughts, I'm going to express them along with my guitar. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people out there listening will envy you right now. but I think there's a lesson in this, that the labored song may not be your best bet, and the one that flows. Mm-hmm. It's like the Buddhist theory of it. If there's too much resistance and craziness around it, it may not be actually time for that song.
Yeah, and then that's even, I think that to a certain extent, that's even a skill you can develop, is to try and, that's what I've been trying to do recently, is to actually embrace that kind of intuition and say, you know, if it feels right, just do it and see what comes out, right? Mm-hmm. Don't try and censor it. Don't try to work out the math.
Well, you know, remember when we were talking to Blair Packham when he was on our show, and you know, he's a very experienced songwriter, and he was saying that how he had actually moved too far into his brain.
Yes.
And he was trying to get back into his heart again, to try to get into that sort of immediate sort of raw emotion, which, you know, is when you are 19, you do naturally write that way because everything is so raw. And as you get older, you tend to start thinking about stuff a lot more. And it can be, I think, always a struggle to get back into that sort of soul part, especially for some of us.
I think that's true in any of the arts, though. I think this disinhibiting, whatever you do to disinhibit yourself to, I call it, you know, shut out the critic, the internal critic, which is always there in all of us. And I think you're right, as you grow older, sometimes you know too much in a way. Like, you've heard too many different songs, you know too many options. And so that I was writing last night with Sonia, and we were able to just, I call it play. We just fooled around with a song idea, joking, fooling around. I played a few chords, she threw in some lines. And there was a kind of playfulness in the thing, and I think we've written a decent song, you know, at the end of it. And, you know.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Should we do a little announcement?
Station ID, we're
here. Yeah, I could talk about what show we're on. I think I have a script here. Do you have a script for me? I don't know.
We're so well prepared today.
It's too cold out. I didn't bring it. How's that? Anyway, we are Song Talk, and we're here on the Scope at Ryerson, and we would love to have you call us, send carrier pigeons, whatever you can do. You know, we're feedback at songtalk.ca. Remember, that was email, Anna? Remember email? I once asked my nieces, can I stay in touch with you? I'd like to have your email addresses, and they just went, why? Right. You know, they want me to text them, right? So that's when I got my first cell phone and started texting. You can tweet us at Song Talk Radio, hashtag Song Talk. On Facebook, we're at Song Talk Radio. And we have a website, of course, songtalk.ca. And next week we're having, who is it we're having next week?
We're having Chris
Burkett. Chris Burkett is going to be here. And I believe the week after that is, I don't know. Let's not announce those. We're just not sure.
We'll just leave it as a surprise.
Well, actually, technically speaking, it's not Chris Burkett.
Oh, that's later on.
But don't forget, you can always stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse all the old shows. And also find out how you can become a guest on this very show.
Yes.
Right. Is that enough to say about things? We should talk about
the meetup
later. Do you want to talk about
it? We can talk about the meetup today after the next song.
Yeah. Okay, and maybe I'll figure out when it is by then.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear another song. This is I Won't Give Up On You.
Right.
Yeah, do you want to set it up at all?
Sure. So I wrote this song to someone that I care about, and it's a song of giving hope and not you know, not giving up into something that can really make you down. So it's a little bit of hopeful song, but at the same time, a little bit sad as well. So, yeah.
Okay. Hit it.
More to give, so many dreams. We'll do everything just to see the sun again.
Okay.
Beautiful song.
Beautiful. I Won't Give Up on You, by Anna Morales.
Wow. Boy, that was awesome break into the, I guess it was into the chorus? No, out of the first section. You just stopped, and then you went from strumming to finger picking. So mm-hmm. there was a tacit silence, and then back to finger picking. And then you built up through really two lines there. Right. You have so much more to give, so many dreams, we'll do everything. Just to see the sun again, yeah. Your full voice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of, it's like a cat from a resting position jumping into the air, you know. It was like so exciting. And I love that part of your voice. So what Neil was saying while we were listening is the Melissa Etheridge, the rocker in you, that raspy,
sort of channeling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my, I got shivers on that, you know. So yeah, that's a part of your voice to explore more, right? Mm-hmm. That really passionate and strong out there, and
break out the electric guitar. See what happens.
And the and that counter melody, the counter melody in the chorus is so strong. The I won't give up on you, and then, you know, and the title of the song is so clear in terms of what the song's about and where it sits in the chorus is really great, and just the way you handle the dynamics was just so nice, and a great bridge too.
Thank you.
You know, the other song that we heard before was much simpler, And it was nice that this one actually has a bridge in different parts to it. It just shows your, you know, your breadth as a songwriter.
Yeah, it's important, especially if you're going to have like a compilation of these things.
What part was the
different formats?
For those who didn't notice.
You're Not Alone, I promise.
Oh, okay, that's a late bridge. And then it went to the final piece. Bridge to the final piece, right? We will win this fight, it won't be long.
Right.
We will survive them all.
Yeah. It was a nice bridge because it was the kind of the gritty part, right?
Like
the energy really took a step up, and then you stripped it right down.
Did it go back to the chorus after the bridge?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. No, I can't remember.
No,
well, I think it just went into the coda,
which is also a verse. We will win this fight. It won't be long, right? See, that's the second verse.
Yeah.
So it's a verse form that you went back. Mm-hmm. But you don't even worry about that, do you? You don't say, I think I'll go to first form as coda.
No,
I don't think so. So again, it's instinctual or instinctive, and it's lovely. I mean, your natural dynamics are wonderful, like your sense of when to get very quiet. Mm-hmm. When to go from strumming to arpeggiating,
right.
to building, to quiet, to spaces. I admire your spaciousness. And especially, I tend to overwrite lyrics. Like, you'll spend a whole 8 bars on something like So Many Dreams. Like, you've got So Many Dreams, like, what, 4 syllables, right?
Right.
You spend a whole 8 bars on that. <It's wonderful.
laughs> yeah,
yeah. Or 4 bars, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
So Many Dreams,
yeah.
I go, well, I can get through that in a bar. Might
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Don't waste time. I got so much to say.
Well, you know, and it's
I love it.
And being that quiet, when you sing a quiet, does pull people right in. And I know when you have been at the Songwriters Meetup and you've sung, people just sort of, you know,
you're always kind of leaning in.
Because, you know, you've got that sort of quietness, and which is really tough to do. It's something I've always wanted to do, and it's you seem to be very natural at it. It's just your voice is so strong, but you're not belting all the time. You're not afraid to go quiet.
Well, right? When it's quiet, it still has intensity.
Yeah.
That's why in focus, right?
Because
your emotions are authentic, so when you're singing even quietly, it's people notice that.
Right.
When people are just singing quietly because they're afraid to sing more loudly, then people can tune right out, right? Because they're not really there.
Mm-hmm.
In the performance, in the recording, or live, right? So you have that commitment, authenticity. Here's a new word.
Authenticity.
You're really authentic.
I want to ask you about the transition between the second chorus and the bridge. You went, so the chorus goes, "I won't give up on you, so don't give up on me. I won't give up on you." That's fairly self-contained,
right?
But at this, on the second chorus, you left out the last "you." And went you went right into the bridge, the "you're not alone." Right, so I won't give up on you're not alone, right?
Nice.
Which was a wonderful transition, and again, it just gave a boost of energy to the bridge. Was that a deliberate decision to not finish the chorus per se, but just to kind of overlap it with the bridge?
That one, I think, because you know I'm running out of breath, so I can't really say "you." So I have to go jump to "You're Not Alone," and I think it works.
So you won't get your good man anything.
I don't buy that because you did it the first time. You did it the chorus the first time. You didn't run out of breath. Maybe this is later in the song. You're running out of breath.
I think the thing is that you don't think about craft, you feel craft. Like, what's happened, I think, over the years of you playing is the craft has come into your bones.
Right.
So that's a great place to be, really, as a writer,
no
where
question.
You're just doing stuff, you're not even thinking about it. Somebody later, works, like a critic or a radio show, starts to take it apart
and analyze it.
Yeah, and you go, you know, like Shakespeare, you say, well, that tis there. You said tis, and you said thine later. Well, I just, it was on that day I felt like saying thine. I mean, really.
Right.
So,
and I think it's because I grew up listening to different genre of music, so it's like you don't really care anymore because you're not so focused into just one genre of music, right?
One genre? What do you mean?
Genre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, what did you listen to as a child? What did your parents have around?
I grew up listening to 80s music and 90s alternative rock and. Those two decades of music.
Right. Those are the you definitely got to break out the electric.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't tell you. Do you have an electric track, like Get Together? Do you have an electric guitar?
No, I don't.
So have you ever been tempted to get together in Neil's studio, say, and or Phil has Phil's a guitarist, mm-hmm. and just lay down some tracks? That would be a great
rock
fun.
Out. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you now have you ever worked through writer's block, or do you just when you have writer's block, you just don't write?
I'm sorry,
you don't know what writer's block is.
No.
It's when
no
someone's
idea.
Trying to write but nothing's coming up creatively. Yes. You don't worry about that because you just don't write anyway, right? If you don't feel like it,
it's not on a commission. So
I think the thing that you have, I don't think we can for our listeners. I don't think we could teach them how to do that.
But let's
examine this a little bit more. Rather than talking about the techniques of writing, which you don't have, you basically write from the heart when mm-hmm. you feel moved to do so. If you were going to teach someone how to do what you do, to just allow a song to come out of them, what would you suggest they do in that moment when they're getting ready to pick up their guitar or whatever?
Good question, Bruce.
I can only speak on whatever
what you do.
What I do, right? When I write the song, when I feel something, I really would pick up the guitar and strum something and just be honest on whatever I was feeling at that moment. So it's kind of hard to...
What other things are like, are you going to sit in a busy cafe and do that? Give me a bit more of a picture. Are you alone? Are you in your room?
I'm usually alone when I write song.
Nobody, no noises in the background,
nope,
not too much?
Nope. I just want to listen to my heartbeat. I just want to listen to myself.
Well, there's a tip. Get somewhere mm-hmm. quiet.
Yeah.
Start playing even though you're not ready, right?
Yeah,
just start playing mm-hmm. something. Prime the pump, as it were.
Right.
And then it seems more like it seems that your technique is more about allowing than
right.
causing.
Like letting go.
Yeah.
Like letting go of yourself.
Have you had to sort of do any exercises to let yourself go? Do you ever get in your own way when you're writing in terms of, you know, getting in touch with your emotions, or are they you just sort of you're just right there?
I just let it go.
No, but if she's in that mood, she doesn't pick up the guitar.
Exactly.
That's just simple, right?
Right.
So you wait to be called. So, I mean, it might be difficult for you to become a professional songwriter who
exactly.
has to churn out
right.
songs mm-hmm. every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't wait for the muse to come, for the feeling to come.
Right.
But as a semi-professional or amateur like yourself and like myself, you can say, well, it's been 3 weeks and, I think I'll get the guitar. And it just sort of occurs mm-hmm. to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the time. Obviously, you must create some time in your life
right.
to be quiet. I would suggest for people who don't have this facility to check in and allow and let go would be meditation. Some sort of getting quiet, breathing quietly, and doing some sort of meditative practice that allows your mind to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, the creativity needs the mind to step aside.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, not the intelligence, but the mind, mm-hmm. the busy mind, the critical mind,
right.
the mind that is taught, you know, like nattering at you about what you have to shop for at the grocery store tomorrow. And it's like, no, for now, let's put that aside, right?
Did you start with the title on this one? Was the title the first thing you came up with? You remember?
I don't think so.
No?
Like, I wrote the lyrics, and I was thinking of a title, and I said, you know, it's just plain and simple, I won't give up on you.
Hmm.
You'd probably already written the chorus at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't write, but sung
right.
the chorus yeah. into a recording device.
Well, great, just Excellent. Such great tunes, you know,
mm-hmm.
right off the bat.
And they're precious because they're rare, right? They're
Thank
like
you.
Jewels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you churn it out every week. Oh, I got another song to write. That's what I love about amateurs, you know, is you know, we've been dedicated to amateurs from the start, right? We have
the
odd professional songwriter on. And like you were saying, Phil, what's the professional songwriter's problem? He wants to get back to when he was a teenager and doesn't think so much, right?
Yeah.
Because you become too crafty, as it were, right? Mm-hmm. Too clever.
Maybe too technical.
Maybe.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I try not to think too much.
It's working.
It's worked out very well.
Well done, Phil. It's accomplished.
Well, maybe I could talk about Meetup before
please
we go
do.
To the next song. We have this monthly... Meetup. It's called the Songwriters Roundtable and also called the Songwriters Circle. And it's on meetup.com. If you Google Meetup, if you're living in Toronto and want to come out, meetup.com, Songwriters Roundtable.
Songwriters Cafe, actually.
Oh, is it Cafe? Yes. It's got so many names. Songwriters Cafe. And then you go on site and you explore it on the meetup site, and then you just join. You put your picture in there and you join the site and you let us know that you're coming out. And we get about 15 or so?
15, 12-ish.
Yeah, sometimes. And each person either brings a tune on an MP3 like we've done tonight, like Anna has done tonight, or they actually bring their guitar. And sometimes people use our piano, if we have a piano. Sometimes people bring a keyboard. Basically, each person's going to do one song. And then much like this program, you're going to get feedback, positive feedback, stuff that encourages you to try new things. And that can include feedback from up to 6-8 people in the room.
That's great. So, and really good and positive.
Positive, constructive.
Constructive feedback.
It's not like
it's and regardless of your stage of songwriting experience, you'll get something out of it. Because, you know, you have people who are just starting off, you know, have just written one song, and people who have done it for, you know, 20 years, and everyone has something interesting to say. It's such a great experience.
Yeah, you've been out to them, Anna. I mean, isn't it wonderful, though, when someone comes up? I love this one. I love discovering talent. When somebody comes up and says, okay, like, I've never played anything for anybody ever.
Yeah.
this is the first song I've ever written. Mm-hmm. Here goes. And then it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's happened so many times.
Gorgeous. It's oh, my God.
Where have you been hiding?
And you get those shivers like something's been discovered, mm-hmm. right? Something new has come into the world. And the person's just beaming at the end. Or they're still shaking. Whatever. But
You've actually been there a few times, Anna. What do you get out of the meetup? What do you... What have you taken away from the meetup before?
Oh, you know what? I learned a lot of tips from you guys, and which I've been applying to my songs.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, changing.
Oh, it's because of us that they're so good.
Oh,
that's great.
Well done.
No, but you took tips from other people.
From the group in general, right?
Right.
Yeah, because there's in the audience, you might have everybody from a very successful producer. We had somebody as a record producer one time. Another time we had a guy who has recorded many different songs that he's written, you know, all different ages of people too.
Oh, yeah.
Different ages, different
genres,
sexes, you know. It's a really cool mix. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
we should probably hear some more
song?
Music.
One more, yes.
Okay, so this is called Lullaby?
Right, that's the last one.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything about it?
Sure. So I wrote this song thinking that God is talking to me. I'm not a religious person, but, you know, when you're feeling down, you believe there's a greater power above you, right? So I thought to write something for him, in a sense that he's the one talking to me.
Nice.
So is this from your point of view or from the higher power's point of view?
Yeah, from God's point of view.
God's point of view. Okay.
Nice. Lullaby.
Take my hand, come walk with me. Come feel my love, I'll set you free. With all your fears I'll intervene. Don't be afraid, I'm always here. And tonight I'll sing you a lullaby, and I will give you peace of mind to tonight I'll sing you a lullaby, a lullaby, a lullaby. In all those years, and all those tears, when no one's around you, I'm still here. When you feel so down, down and out, when the world's against you, I'm always here. And tonight I'll sing you a lullaby, and I will give you peace of mind. Tonight I'll sing you a lullaby, a lullaby, a lullaby.
Trick, as we say in hockey.
Incredible song.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That means three goals. If one player on a hockey team scores three goals, it's called a hat trick. Just a little Canadian content, all right? Come on.
I think Anna, the first two songs you didn't have any rhymes. This one you've got a lot of rhymes, or more rhymes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Which gives it gives a different feel. Like it's much more.
It's a longer song.
It's longer, but it's much. I find it much more structured.
I see. Maybe I'm improving.
It's different. It's different. I'll just say it's different.
These are all.
But again, I mean, if you're gonna have a compilation of these things, you got a good. I mean, these three. There's a lot of variety just within these three.
Just before I forget, because my memory isn't great. The end of the song. It was like so brilliant. You hit the lyric and then the strum came. You know, normally when you do that strum thing, you go strum. I'll sing you a lullaby. Strum, and you went, I'll strum sing you. It was so unexpected. It was like, whoa, what's she doing? The guitar is supposed to come in a beat earlier. No, it's not. Because you did that on purpose, channel whatever you do. I don't know, the magic of your song.
It wasn't on purpose.
But it wasn't on purpose. It was so interesting.
Oh, and it was so sweet. It's a little detail that makes all the difference, you know?
It's different, it's different. And again, you had one of those amazing transitions. I don't even know where it was now, but
after the chorus,
you know to build that chorus, and then it was like right
and
down.
What was so interesting is the this was a perfect example of Bruce's point about how you took very few words and actually like really gave them a lot of room to speak, to breathe. You know, in your verses. But what was interesting is in your chorus became sort of denser lyrically, but and kind of a bit more structured in some ways. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of set off the chorus in a really strong way.
Yeah, like the lines came much quicker in the chorus.
Yeah, right?
There's a lot less space in the chorus, but it's a wonderful melody that just carries you right through it. Mm-hmm. And then when you drop back into the verse again, it opens up the space again. Right.
And I really appreciated the variation, because your verses are sort of made up of two pieces, and so the second piece of your second verse, you actually kind of did a really nice variation. Which kind of, which really kind of gave it, just gave it a whole, just a whole life. It was just wonderful that way.
Verve.
Yes, verve, much verve.
Oh, it's different melodically, you mean, or just a...
Yeah, there's verve. A variation in
the melody. There was a variation in the melody. She had a little bit of angst, a little bit of grit to it.
Yeah.
So while we were listening to the tune, I put forward this idea that we work with Anna, the three of us as producers, and give this a track. Like a full bed track.
Sure.
And
rock it out.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, I was hearing cello at one part, like really hearing beautiful cello to ground it. Mm-hmm. And then we heard a little bit of electric guitar in there. And certainly Neil, who's a drummer himself, this could be beautifully grounded in drums. It's a very spiritual song, and yet, well, this is going to sound silly. You think a spiritual song should be very quiet and mm-hmm. pensive and sweet. Think of gospel, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
I mean, I heard some background vocals on this
too.
That
like
could
a
be
choir, like
yeah, maybe like a full 60-piece gospel choir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we could find one, I think you probably have one in your computer, don't you?
I very well might be.
Yeah. And the way she played the guitar, I mean, you could almost hear the band coming in because it had so much dynamics in the guitar playing itself.
Well, and I think it gets back to what I was saying right off the bat, that this song is much more structured. I think that's what lends it the ability to say, you know, you can lay down, you know, bass, guitar, drums on this in a tasteful sort of soft way.
Yeah.
And bring in a screaming guitar solo in the middle.
Well, let's do that and let's...
I'm excited.
Good. Well, I hope the listeners are too, because we'll come back maybe in the summer or something like that.
Yeah.
And we'll bring Anna back and we'll play that.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe you can talk about your experience in adapting the song, arranging the song, what it did to the song. Right.
So was this one the same way? You sort of started from the top and went through it linear fashion?
Is that how you write all your songs, basically from the top to the bottom?
Usually, yes.
Right, so you don't just come up with a chorus and go, oh, that's kind of cool, and then sort of write around that.
There were a few times, but most of the time I start from top to bottom.
You start with a title?
That's all
the Nashville kids do,
feeling,
right?
Yeah,
start
yeah.
feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to admit that I called, like, this is obviously a God song, a higher mm-hmm. power song, right? And that's the nickname I gave to songs that just arrived in my mm-hmm. in my lap. Is a God song, I call that. That I'm just sitting there and quietly with my guitar, and suddenly, and it all. I don't do it the same way as you, because I write lyrics first usually, and then have a melody in my mind, which mm-hmm. I try to find chords to match. Same thing though, like a sort of a song that's channeled from a higher power. Mm-hmm. That comes from you. I mean, if you don't believe in God or higher power, if your listener doesn't believe, it doesn't matter. You can call it the muse or your creative soul, your spirit, mm-hmm. the inner child, whatever that thing is you can't really define that is creativity, that just flows through you. And I keep telling my friends who say, well, I'm not creative, I don't write songs or paint or whatever. Every single person is creative.
I believe that.
Anybody can write a song. Mm-hmm. They sat down with one of us for a while and fooled around mm-hmm. with stuff and mm-hmm. ideas. That they could.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about this song is that you title it Lullaby. Lullaby shows up in the chorus, of course, and it's open enough that it could be God, could be higher power, could be a parent.
Right, true. Right,
and when you think of lullaby, you think mm-hmm. parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
the
true.
Right thing, right?
It could be.
And it completely holds, if you take that view, it completely holds true throughout the lyrics. So
there's a detail I want to point out, though, is that you did something really tasty at the end of your instrumental. Is you kind of pedaled on your last chord,
mm-hmm.
like you just didn't, you know, play the your chord sequence, and then you know normally, and then you know went into your last bit. You actually held the last chord, I think, for like two bars, like you know the one chord at the end of the your chord phrase for two bars, and that's really really nice. It kind of sets up your sort of break for the tonight. And to do that thing with the guitar where you sing first and then strum second.
Right.
which is really nice. So, and, again, another little, yeah. Another
and people
little.
Would call wrong, you know.
No, no, that's never so not no, wrong. No, peddling it's is never fun. Wrong. No. One should always peddle. Peddling yeah. is good.
Peddling's yeah. good. Oh, it's all lovely.
Yeah. How if somebody wants to hear more of your stuff, how do they go about that?
You want to line
it? It's SoundCloud. The thing I don't have SoundCloud. No.
Reverbation.
No. Well, she will now.
But I will. I will.
Yeah. You should. Because these tunes are great by them. Like, you could put these tunes up on SoundCloud
totally.
Easily.
Right.
Totally. They're great mm-hmm. songs. They're yeah. well recorded and clear. And
you can get more hits than I would.
Yeah.
And what I like about your spirituality is that, you're, like Neil was saying, this could be interpreted any way you want
right.
as a lullaby for a parent or a friend or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, it's about love, really. And I like that you're not selling anything religious here. You're not trying to push an agenda that's religious. You're
right.
very quiet about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And
it's not preachy, right?
It's yeah. not yeah. preachy at all. It's so inviting.
It's just being honest.
I'm sing you a lullaby.
Yeah. Hey, but you know, you hear that, kids? yeah. Just be honest.
And, but I mean, being honest actually with yourself, I think songwriting that's can hard. Be very tough.
Yeah.
And I think it's yeah. easy for people, and I think I do that myself, is go right into your brain. And yeah. you can sort of hide out in your brain a bit by being really intellectual and being really connected to your emotions can be a bit of a struggle. I think.
Well, it also makes you very vulnerable, right?
Yeah,
because when you hear these or you know, you must feel that you're revealing something very personal about yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't mean gossipy personal details. I just mean your soul. Yeah, right. Just your right. soul. Yeah, that's yeah. all. It's not like where you live or anything. It's just you're living a mortal soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Mortal soul.
I'm not talking about your shoe size. Okay, that's about all the time we have. How quickly we run out.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you very much yeah. for having me
yeah,
again.
It's been my pleasure.
We're going to do that song of yours. I'm
sure.
going to push this through. I'm going to be executive producer. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. yeah, yeah, whatever. They're used to me now.
I'll be the guy who gets the coffee, okay?
I just want to play the drums. That's all.
Okay.
we'd like to thank Scott Ryerson for putting up with us.
Yay.
And thank you to Eric Sorensen for managing our social media channels.
Yay.
And thank you to our home listeners.
Yay.
And please let us know what you thought about tonight's show. Feedback at songtalk.ca, Twitter at songtalkradio, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, and please stop by the website at songtalk.ca, and there, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and you're in the Toronto area, you can submit your song and we will get back to you and set you up.
And you can also listen to all their old songs, all
the old
shows.
All
the
old, all the old shows are on there.
Over a year, so lots of stuff there.
Yeah, there's like, what, like
60 some odd shows up
yeah.
on there. And on
take
that
a week,
yeah. and on songtalk.ca, you'll also find a link to the Songwriters Cafe meetup group, like we were talking about before,
yeah.
where we meet once a month in a roundtable discussion. Everyone gets constructive feedback on each other's songs.
And there's beer.
Yeah.
check out meetup.com, Songwriters Cafe, get all the details. Roundtable events are free, and it's free to join at meetup.com. So we hope to see you there. Thanks once again, Anna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna.
Great songwriter.
Fantastic stuff. Will you come back again?
Yeah.
Come back for the
sure.
third time? You'll be a third. Third
she podcast. Feels like it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Write some more songs.
She feels
good.
Back.
Okay, thanks, Bruce and Phil, for all the feedback and everything.
All right.
Don't forget, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Art
on Twitter, and you can follow me at thenoise_CA.
And don't follow
don't
me.
Follow Bruce.
Don't follow Bruce.
Try being stalked.
And don't forget, that's feedback at songtalk.ca for all your thoughts and complaints.
All right. Keep on writing, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
All right.